All right. That wasn't a window breaking, by the way. This is the this is our 10th episode post-show. Alex had to go to work.
This is the part of the show. I don't even know why I'm explaining this.
Dad's not here.
This is the part of the show where we talk about whatever the fuck we want to.
Dad's not here anymore, so we're having fun. We're still here at Stella Blue on Stella Brew. There's a song called Stella.
We never got touched on that. Either. Yeah, that is why the store's name Stella Brew.
There's a song called Stella Blue.
After a Grateful Dead song, Stella Blue. It's got all flavor.
Are you a deadhead?
I don't like to generalize myself as a deadhead because I feel like they get a bad rap.
They do.
But
get a bad
rap. I do love the band and the culture they created and some of the songs. But I mean my musical. I love, you know, everything from Yngwie Malmsteen to metal to Thelonious Monk, some really good jazz.
Absolutely.
You know? And I always say, if it's good music, I will listen to it no matter what.
Absolutely.
I just particularly, you know,
no, it's cool.
Happen to really enjoy life.
You played disc golf. You went to App. We know where you're coming from.
<Yes. laughs>
Speaking of which, you do have, like, that is kind of a disc golf pro shop that you've got set up here.
Complete disc golf pro shop. It was the space we have here at Stella Brew is so big. It was something I really wanted to incorporate. Like I said, I've been throwing for about 12 years now.
Mm-hmm.
Love the culture. I've met some of the best people I've ever met in my life on a disc golf course. So we sell everything from discs from all the major brands, Anova, Discraft, Dynamic Disc just came out with a new line, Latitude 64, so on, so on. We sell bags, the actual baskets, mini baskets, hats, even disc golf dry fit shirts, all the way down to LED lights for glow rims. So, if you didn't understand any of that, then you probably have never heard of disc golf. But if you are a disc golfer, it is kind of, it sounds very corny, but it's a one-stop
business. Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah,
so disc golf, just to explain for anybody who doesn't know, is basically you take a frisbee of sorts. And it's basically golf. Instead of having a hole, you have a basket. You try to get it in as few strokes as possible.
Same rules still apply. There's a par for every hole.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. You know, bogey, birdie, eagle, hole in one.
You'll have sometimes. You've got things you got to shoot around.
Trees.
There's discs. Like, you have different clubs and everything. You know, there's putters. There's mid-range. There's drivers. Mm-hmm.
Oh,
everything
wow.
like that.
There's drivers that go left. Drivers that go right.
Yeah, actually, one of my favorite things about disc golf is I had one of my close friends said, the reason that he's more interested in this than he is in real golf is because sometimes it's strategic to drive with your putter.
Oh, yeah.
And you would never do that.
You would never do that in real golf.
And it is a much, I think we touched on this in the original podcast too, but the culture and atmosphere of a disc golf course, you still get that same competitiveness. Because I feel like disc golf gets a bad rap sometimes too. It's just like, oh, a bunch of stoners.
Yeah.
A bunch of drunks and stuff.
A bunch of drunks.
And church kids.
Which, you know, every stereotype has its truth. You do.
Absolutely.
You know. But it is a lot of people take it very seriously. It's turned into a really competitive sport. A lot of America's youth.
Is there a tour?
PDGA tour. The U.S. Open every year is in Rock Hill, South Carolina, right past Charlotte.
That is so fucking cool.
Galleries of people following around. Actually, we sponsored the Yatkin Open, which had 90 players turn out a couple weeks before the Open. And if you know disc golf, you'll know this name. Barry Schultz, who is like a 3-time world champion, Hall of Famer, has his signature on tons of disc golf. Came out to the Yatkin Open. I got him to sign a disc up there.
Oh, nice.
It says Fly On Stella Brew. Barry Schultz, 2013 Hall of Fame. He just got inducted this year.
That's fantastic.
But anyways, it's not the same hoity-toity, you know, exclusive atmosphere you get at a golf course.
And from what I've seen, it's not exclusionary because I could come in here, buy a couple discs, and just go out with you guys tomorrow, and we could play.
Absolutely.
In flip-flops, jeans, and a baseball hat.
And it's like, each disc has its own unique throwing style, but at the same time, like, who hasn't thrown a frisbee? You know?
Yeah.
You pick up a golf club for the first time, and there's a certain barrier to entry, but,
sure.
you know, for $30, you can have a damn decent set of discs, and you can go play and be just as good as anybody else who's starting out.
And it's a good way to spend time with your friends, from what I assume. Because I want to see, I want to get into it.
Yeah.
No, only if you can take, only if you take Logan Hash for tree removal.
Yeah.
Our buddy Logan is like
Lumberjack.
Okay. Yeah.
We play.
Trees away.
We've told this story a ton of times. This guy will get pissed off. He'll hit a tree, and he'll just run up to the tree and rip it out of the ground.
We don't mean like a big oak, but like a moderately sized sapling.
You know, how it's just like, you know, you're like, man, this tree wasn't here a month ago. Fuck this. I don't want this here anymore. And he just rips it out of the ground and just chucks it.
Always
He's
play
that guy.
Always play disc golf with somebody who can remove hazards.
That fuck you tree that's right in the middle.
You have any good golf stories?
I have several.
Tell us about the first time you aced a hole in disc golf.
Okay. Oh, okay. Well, tell us a couple ace stories. I have two aces in my life. It is, you know, we'll get into the stories here in a second, but it is disc golf. A lot of people call it froth, frisbee golf, other things, but it's disc golf.
There's a definitive difference. Like, I know I said anybody's thrown a frisbee before, but the first time you throw a disc, you notice there's a definitive difference between like a disc golf disc and like an ultimate frisbee.
No doubt. They're weighted completely differently.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so it's called disc golf, and disc golfers generally, I'm going to use the term ball golf here, when referring to the traditional golf with a golf club and a little white ball. We call it ball golf as disc golfers. So anyways, just to get that out there. A couple good ace stories, and I was going to say, as in ball golf, if you get a hole-in-one, I mean, it's one of the most exhilarating feelings ever.
And you have to buy everybody you're playing with a round.
Yes, you do. It can get very expensive.
Good.
just making sure that goes. Disc golf, you know, it's like...
But at the same time, a lot of times they end up buying you the rest of your drinks for the rest of the night.
Yeah. So I was at Yadkinville, my favorite course to go play. I live right off Highway 421 on Peace Haven. I can take my dog out there right now.
Very That's awesome. Right around the corner for me, too, because I live in Pofftown. So.
Number three, it's a short open hole. It's a birdie hole. Mm-hmm. It's nothing special, but I was playing out there, and it's actually a really good story. I was throwing an Orc, which is a kind of disc from Anova. It's a brand of disc. So
it's a disc
I came across
catch.
This Orc. At the time, I lived in Boone and always played at a course in Ash County Park. So found this disc in a lake out there. People write their name and number on the inside rim of a disc, so if you lose it, you get it back. It was a buddy of mine, John Glenn, who has a private course out in Yadkinville as well. Big disc golfer. I call him. He says, hey, man, just hold on to that disc for a couple weeks. You know, just throw it, whatever. I'll just get it from you next time I see it. That's the disc I aced the hole with. First ace.
You're not getting this back.
The story's not over. The next week, back up in West, because I was just in town for the weekend. I grew up around the area. Back up in West Jefferson, lost the disc in the same lake I found it in. So, found the discs, aced the hole, and within a week lost it back in the lake.
That's
like John Glenn told him the story.
That's some weird universal juju. Like, I come, and I'm gone. Just like, I was here for this purpose, and that's it.
It's funny sometimes. I found I have a cheetah, and we play at Johnson Street a lot. That's our home course.
Sure, that's where I learned to play first.
Yeah, actually, I downloaded an iPod game, and it was two made-up disc golf courses and Johnson Street. And I was like, this isn't real life. Like, this is my home course, a mile from my house, and it's not a video game.
That's nuts.
But we call it the disc eater, where you get out there around, what is it, hole, what's that, 12 and 13?
Which one, where you throw it?
There's the one with the two trees, and then the disc eater off to the right, and then the long course. I think it's 12 and 13.
Oh, the one with the fencing with the dogs?
So the big briar patch there, we call that the disc eater. Because if it goes in there, you might not get it back.
Nope.
That's the one before the power tower.
Yeah. But so I found a cheetah there, and it was, I call it beat to perfection.
And for you non-disc golfers, a cheetah is a kind of disc. He didn't find an actual cheetah.
It didn't have a phone number on it. And so I just, at that point, it's like, well, I guess it's my disc, unless somebody sees it and like, hey, that's my disc I just lost. And it has become one of my favorite discs. And I got another cheetah, and it's just like, it doesn't throw the same. So it's whatever it is. Sometimes it'll happen. Like, I had a Valkyrie that I tacoed. That's where you hit a tree, and you kind of fold it in half. And then after that was my favorite disc. And it's like, I can't replace that, because I'm never going to be able to damage it in the right way to make it throw the same.
That's
game.
Like the disc I had. I lost it at Brown Summit, and then Logan called me and was like, "Hey, somebody said they found your disc in Reidsville." I'm like,
"Yeah."
But the last time I played it was over there. So somebody picked it up, played with it, and lost it at Reidsville.
That was like
doesn't throw the same.
Now was there like a front nine and a back nine?
Generally, yes.
Depending on the course.
Johnson Street breaks it up perfectly.
Yes.
You can quit at the front nine and then go.
You still refer to it as the front nine, back nine. There's not... Oh, most places around here don't have, like, a clubhouse Well, you know, there's no, like...
Usually, these courses are in, like, public parks and stuff
like that. Well, Johnson Street has, like, a little, like...
they're the perfect... That's the only one that I know.
Gazebo area.
Yeah.
Reedsville kind of does.
Is there a break to the nine?
Yeah, because when you get to the end of the ninth hole, you can... The pro shop's real close.
Oh, that's true.
And then... But, yeah.
Most just keep going. And they get further.
Are there usually,
woods.
Like, greens fees that you have to pay?
Reedsville is the only one.
Yeah, there's very, very few. And when it is, it's super small.
It's a few bucks.
Yeah.
$3-4 bucks.
And those are usually like on private courses.
Yeah, I've never played a course
prep.
Yeah, 99% of the courses.
We always go with Logan, and he lives in Reedsville, so he gets a
Reedsville has, you actually pay for parking to go into the park.
Okay, that's not, I mean, that's whatever.
The city. So it's the only time we've ever had.
Because I think Tanglewood has a disc golf course as well, and you have to pay for parking.
And that's another thing that's really good about it. I got to do it at a point in time where I didn't have a whole lot of money, and I just had some discs left over from when I was in high school. It was a great activity, as long as you keep track of your discs, too. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
you know, go out on Saturday.
Let's go like next week.
Always write your name and your phone number on the disc.
And always call somebody if you find
out. Now, the perfect segue. I have in my disc golf pro shop here the stand-up cardboard Dos Equis man, the most interesting man in the world. And I have a little cloud coming from his mouth that says, quote unquote, "I don't always lose a disc, but when I do, I call the number."
You got a cloud on.
Yeah, so how long does it take to finish a game? Like a full 18-hole round?
It depends on the course. An hour,
2 hours,
hour
probably, yeah.
It's a nice
I mean, if you got a foursome, 2 hours maybe.
We can kill Johnson Street. Like, Johnson Street's a little shorter. We can kill that in about a little under an hour.
And if you're discreet, you can bring beer?
Yeah.
Beer have to be discreet.
You're not supposed to because it's most of them are public parks, so it's prohibited.
Right.
But everybody does, and nobody cares.
You look in the trash cans, there's beer everywhere.
And it's mainly, disc golf is usually generally like, don't litter and throw, it's very clean.
Yeah, be respectful.
Yeah,
let's
be
go
respectful.
On Friday. I'm off fucking Friday.
We can't go Friday.
Work Friday.
It's dark by 5 o'clock.
Guys, and you're 9 to 5. I work a double on Saturday.
We can go before the podcast. Maybe.
We can never play during the week anymore now. It's too dark.
It's too dark, yeah. Let's pop this last beer.
You guys want to try another beer?
Yeah, let's try the last one.
This is our post show.
I'm excited for this one. This has
I wasn't going to buy beer tonight, but now I'm going to buy beer on my way home. Because, like, I got to pick up a loaf of bread anyway, so I'm going to be there.
So this last beer we're having is another wildly, the one we ran out of time on, is another wildly popular style that's coming.
Oh, it's corked.
It is corked. The cork is opening.
There we go.
It is a Belgian sour. The specific style we're tasting is a geese goose. It's pronounced many different ways. I'm probably not pronouncing
I've
it
heard
the right
geese
way.
A lot.
I say geese.
Geese band.
So it is an oud geese, which is an extreme on the tart factor. This one's a very
I love it.
Big puckering. This one in particular is the oud geese boon. We sell here at the shop. It's one of the more affordable Belgian sours. The bad thing about liking Belgian sours, which I do, it's the most expensive end of the beer spectrum. Because of that being, they take, in some cases, old lambics like a 3-year-old lambic, which is also a Belgian style beer, a 2-year-old lambic, a 1-year-old lambic, blend them all together, then age them in barrels. And it, it just, the time it takes to get the liquid in an actual bottle sometimes is 5 to 6 years. So it's not just expensive for being expensive.
Now, where does the sourness come from? Does it come from the yeast or?
The wild yeast strains.
The wild yeast
strains. Generally, Belgian sours, they use wild yeast strains where, and some are like open air fermenters, where they'll call it some kind of more care. You can probably explain it better than I can.
It goes, if anyone has ever taken like the Red Oak tour, they explain it a lot in there too. It's a lot of like how beer first started, it was kind of by accident.
Right.
There was a lot of, they would just put the beer, they mixed whatever they had, a bunch of grain, some water, whatever they had all together. And then by magic, it would turn into this liquid that would make them feel good.
Because of the
yeast. Because of the wild yeast strains in the air.
It would be attracted to
the
sugars.
Yes, and then the yeast would eat the sugars.
As someone told me today, it's, hey, I'm going to go ahead and eat this cereal, now I feel funny.
Yeah, basically. And they thought it was magic. Woo.
So this, we saved this one for last because generally you save the IPAs for last because they will...
They're palate ruiners.
They're palate ruiners, yeah. Yes. But this, you know, this is kind of a palate cleanser, but once you have...
It smells like a shock tart.
Once, oh, yeah, yeah.
It does. I'm excited. I'm so excited.
And like I said, there's subtle sours. This one is a little on the more extreme end. The Oud Gizas tend to be some of the most tart ones.
I tend to suck on lemons for fun, so I'm excited.
If you don't like craft beer, you're not going to like this at all.
Ooh,
if you like your Budweiser and Bud Lights and all that crap.
Oh, man.
Woo. This is delicious.
That's yummy.
It tastes like... It almost tastes... Okay. So, I had a conversation with my girlfriend, and I was like, oh, it's cider season. I'm so excited. She's like, I hate cider. I'm like, no, I'm not talking about, like, alcohol cider. I'm talking about actual apple cider.
Yeah.
And this has a little bit of that, like...
Yeah.
It does. It
that
does.
Sour.
And it is a lip puckering.
Yeah.
I mean, your whole mouth tightens up like you're eating a warhead candy.
Yeah.
And, you know,
which I love. Which I'll eat warheads till my mouth bleeds.
But very, very complex, delicious, refreshing, kind of a dry, similar
amazing.
To a Saison, a little bit of a dry finish.
Like, we were talking when we first met. I was like, hey, show me your sours. And he was like, dude. And just showed me like four shelves full of sours.
Yeah,
and we were talking, and I was like, man, I'm telling you, like, watch next year, sours will overtake the pale ale in the IPA market. And he was like, coming from wholesale, you're right.
Yeah.
And he was like, you're absolutely right. So go ahead and start buying your sours now, people.
The industry's trending that way. There's been a brewery, a lot of American breweries are starting to do it. There's one out of Oregon called Cascade that makes phenomenal sours. That's all they do. There's another one that just opened in Denver called Crooked Stave that's doing awesome stuff. They're popping up all over the place. More and more breweries are just... turning into just, there's one out of Austin, Texas called Jester King, makes dynamite stuff. Unfortunately, all the stuff that's named, you know, you can't get in North Carolina. You get a little bit of Cascade sometimes. But even some North Carolina breweries. There's one opening in Hall River. Saxafall, North Carolina, of all places.
They're opening up one near Hall River.
Yeah,
that's
Hall River Farmhouse Ales. And they're going to make several Saison
that's
Farmhouse
a great
Sour
idea.
Offerings.
Jeff, the Sour, that's another type of beer that's actually... generally regarded as like an off taste, right?
Yeah, sours are an off taste.
And so it's where I think it's interesting that this and the farmhouse a little bit, they're kind of taking what's traditionally considered an off taste and kind of refining that and making that like a style of its own, where it's like, oh, this is this thing that we kind of usually try to avoid, but.
But if you can balance it right, it totally works.
It's going to taste good,
This is great.
This is fantastic.
Yeah, the Geese Boone's a great value sour too.
And it's really good for the price, I will say
that. What is the ABV on this?
Probably. It is 7 on this, which is actually pretty high for a sour.
Most sours sit around 5.5.
5.5, and there's some that are even like, you know, as low as like 4, you know. So.
This is good. This is fantastic. Haha, Alex didn't get to try the sour.
It's very bitter in a different way than your typical beer.
And you're,
usually it's the hops, but this is the malt, like, just... lemony, citrus.
So this is something that's a...
I love feeling my mouth just go...
Mm. It's a little more of an intense sour, like you said.
This is a little more intense on the tart spectrum. We have, as he was just saying, we have almost 2 shelves of... 8-foot-long shelves of nothing but sours. I love the style. It's selling well. We have everything from a $27 2007 vintage Abbey de Saint-Montchin Swedish sour... that is out of this world, all the way down to a single bottle you can get from Rodenbach for $2.49. Very introductory level sour, low on the tart meter. So that's the one I usually recommend to people trying to get into the style.
The first one you sold me was the Monk's Cafe.
The Monk's Cafe.
Which I love. Which I love.
And affordable and great, great introductory sour.
Yeah, it's fantastic. I recommend anybody get ready for the summer. Go ahead and start buying up sours because I have a feeling the price is just going to fucking skyrocket. I really do.
Jim Cramer moment.
Buy. Mad beer.
And this is the same. It's like, man, going back to the Shandy the other week, man. Like, this is the sour I want in a beer. Not somebody dumping a whole bunch of lemon juice in my beer.
Yeah, that's fair. That's totally fair.
Exactly why I don't like Shandies.
I have to say, man, Shandy. I hate to say it as a big, like, I know it's a big market beer, but Lion & Kugel Summer Shandy, man, coming in from mowing the lawn. It's like Kool-Aid. It's just like, so good. I drank the shit out of them this summer because my stepmom kept buying them and never drinking them. And I was like, free beer. So I just kept drinking.
So let's say, I guess if you want, like, maybe I was thinking, what would be some good introductory beers
like if somebody's trying to get into craft beer but doesn't necessarily have like a really refined palate and it maybe
sure.
doesn't want to spend a whole lot of money, mm-hmm. what are some different types of beer you'd recommend for like different styles?
I would say generally Kolsch's, there's some craft lagers and like wheat wit beers are generally very friendly to the palate. Kolsch is a super easy drinking style ale. It's got some nice bright crisp flavors, but drinks more, a little more like, you know, a typical American adjunct lager.
Yeah. More like a Pilsner.
I was going to say,
yeah, like
it tastes really good, but it goes down like
and
a
we,
course. It,
exactly. We have some killer Pilsners here. Just a few Victory Prima Pils, North Coast Scrimshaw Pils. Mother Earth out of Kinston, North Carolina does
terrific
a Kolsch
beer.
Called Endless River Kolsch.
Oh my god, that's one of my favorites.
Would Oscar Blues be a little too their Mama's Little Yellow? Would that
Mama's
be
Yellow, that'd be perfect. Yeah.
Okay.
That'd be another great one.
Yeah,
they actually won a medal in Belgium.
Do what now?
They won a medal in Belgium for Little Yellow.
If you're used to drinking like the Bud Lights and stuff, it is probably a good idea to start
Pilsners.
You know,
Kolsch.
Especially if you're like, I'll throw that out there. If you're drinking crappy beer and trying to move up, if you drink Miller, try a Pilsner.
Yeah.
You know, not
a craft Pilsner.
But
that's
what I'm saying. If you're drinking Miller, because Miller's a little different from most of the other beers like that in the fact that it is a Pilsner rather than a lager. So try to just like, that's what you like, so try to step up with that a little bit.
No doubt. And we do have also just, you know, there probably is a few PBR listeners on this podcast. We got PBR.
We're PBR.
We got it stacked on the floor. We got it cold.
You got Stoney's, too.
Stoney's, which is a
which you're pushing.
Phenomenal alternative to PBR. 8.49 at 12-pack.
Yeah, okay, yeah. So
trying to start a Stoney's revolution here.
which is also a thing. You're not totally exclusionary. Like, we're all session beer drinkers.
Sure.
Like, we are not beer snobs. We will not turn down beer unless it's just beer that we're just like, no. We're beer nerds.
We drank beer out of Chris's car that's been there for 3 weeks.
Trunk beer, man. God
and
bless
it's
a trunk
terrible,
beer.
Terrible.
God, we sat and drank after Halloween after we did the airlift. We found trunk beers that had been there for, and we drank it warm.
Yep.
So, so what's a good economy beer?
Good economy craft beer, or just a good economy?
Well, like if somebody's trying to get beer that they're going to enjoy, but they don't have a whole lot of money, what would be a good, like, economic?
I would say, well, okay, we'll go this way. I have a couple high-gravity Polish stuff.
Oh,
one's called the Black Boss Porter.
Black Boss.
It is a 9%.
That's a good beer.
I want to say it's right around 19.2 or so ounces for, like, $2.99.
$2.99.
9%
oh,
Polish
wow.
Porter.
It's
bang for your
stellar.
Buck for the buzz. It's incredible. We have a couple other Baltica number 9. It's a Russian lager for like under $3. Another tall boy. It's just a lager, but it's
okay.
Just in that group. But Baltica, okay. They have a bunch of number 9, number 7. So I would say something like that. We have a lot of foreign large format bottles that are higher in alcohol content.
Oh.
You can just buy a single serve for a couple bucks.
Right.
It depends on what kind of drunk you're going for. If you're going to get drunk, get some high gravity like.
Yep. That's one of my
Stouts.
Favorite things.
Yeah.
Me and Jeff will go down to Flying Saucer. That's like, you know, you may pay $5 for a pint, but it's going to be.
It's going to be like a turbo stout, and you're going to be.
Yeah.
And I'm kind of glad, like, for a while there, it was like, let's make the highest gravity fucking possible beer we can, just because we can. And then it was like, let's make the hoppiest beer we can. And now I feel like the industry's finally balancing out, and it's like, let's make quality.
Yeah.
You know, and if we can get some higher ABV out of it, fine. But. It's not all about the trend, and I feel like now it's not so much of a trend business as it is. Let's just make good stuff.
Yeah, it does. You don't have to have the biggest IBU or the biggest
right.
ABV.
Because that was a thing for a while.
Good.
Yeah,
well, you have,
good,
and
I'll
you have a
it.
Lot of breweries now coming out with like session IPAs, because that's such a popular style. So like Founders does one called the All Day IPA.
I haven't seen that yet.
4.7%. Super great beer.
Founders is amazing.
Yeah.
We have one in here from Evil Twin Brewery out of Denmark called the Bikini Beer.
I saw that.
It is a 2.7% IPA. It's actually a very hoppy. I told my wife, I was like, that's my new one I'm DD for tonight beer, because it's still a super good drinking IPA. But to some Foothills every now and again, I've seen them have one on tap called Littlefoot. And they don't
I've
do
seen
it
them
often.
Do, I've seen them
but
do Littlefoot.
But it is the hoppiest beer they have. And
so
it's like 3.5 or something.
Barely
so
any malt, but just super hopped.
super hoppy.
Do they? Is Evil awesome. Twin? Is Evil Twin also the guys who did the hipster beer?
Yes. They did
okay.
The hipster,
I saw
yeah.
that over
hipster
there.
Hipster
yeah.
pale. We got that as well. Yeah.
I was not a fan of that.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
We bought it to go to a party. We were like, yeah, we're being clever. Hipster beer. Here, you want this? Because I'm done with it.
We got into a little bit of a debate last week, and I want you to weigh into. There's so many stories about the origin of the IPA.
Yes, there were two differentiating stories on
okay.
this.
And I was wondering, before we give you what we've heard, I was wondering what you've heard about that.
And I don't know if this is true, but the one I've heard, which is probably one of the ones you discussed, was that it was the old, you know, trade route from Europe to some spot in India and Asia, the old trade routes. They would take on the sea, and they would take, you know, kegs of beer, barrels of beer with them on these journeys on the sea, and they would just throw a ton of extra hops in these brews to preserve the beer longer.
Okay.
And that's the story I've always heard.
Which is what I said.
The story that me and Jeff have heard, it's very similar, we heard that they didn't have enough cargo space.
Okay.
And so that they would make them higher gravity and hoppier so that when they got to the other end, they could cut them with water. And it would still taste like beer. And then evidently the troops just started saying, well, if it's got more alcohol in it, let's just drink it like this.
Yeah, yeah.
And then just got used to the hops.
Yeah. Because that's
really
the one
similar,
I said.
But
was the one you said.
There's
yeah.
so
but,
many
I mean,
variations
like,
to that story.
I feel like both are equally fucking viable. It could
sure.
be either one.
Yeah.
We're not keeping you from your wife, are we?
No, it's fine. Yeah, we'll wait. Yeah.
Like you said, you're closed tomorrow.
Yes, this is my Saturday night, so...
What do you guys want to talk about now? What are you into besides beer and disc golf?
Yeah.
What else?
We've been meaning to ask guests that because
yeah.
we had a very interesting conversation with somebody we brought on talking about music, and he talked about Star Wars the whole time.
Yeah,
so
for the post show that I couldn't be there for because
nice,
I'm the next
nice.
biggest Star Wars nerd.
I mean, I'd say my next biggest passion is, you know, music, live music.
Yeah.
I've probably been to, you know, several hundred shows
nice.
In my life. I mean, I used to... Back when I was in college, I mean, we'd travel around to big festivals. We did the Bonnaroo thing
oh, yeah.
several years.
Did you get your master's degree in Bonnaroo?
I did 4 years in a row.
Yeah, you got your bachelor's.
A 100-degree Manchester, Tennessee.
Oh.
Heat. You're baked out of your tent at 6:30 in the morning, and the only thing you can do is start drinking.
If you don't mind me asking, how old are you so we can put you in a demographic?
You're fine. I'm 28 years old.
Oh, so you're a year older than me.
Gotcha.
Very cool. I'm the oldest one on the podcast, usually.
But, you know, music is definitely a huge passion of mine, man. I mean, I touched on it earlier. You know, I go through different kicks where I want to hear some, like, you know, some Los Lobos, some good, like, you know, American Mexican rock, or some Thelonious Monk, some good weird, some Thelonious Monk, Coltrane, Miles Davis stuff,
jazz,
some good
yeah.
jazz. You know, I go through my Dead kicks where I want to hear, like, my old Dick Spicks albums.
Yep.
And all the way to, I'm a... huge fan of some good metal stuff. I'm Opeth. I'm a huge fan of Opeth. I
nice.
Love that band. Actually went to high school with Dusty Waring and Adam Cody, who Glass Casket.
I went to high school
with Blake Richardson.
Right on.
So
right on.
Like
yeah,
we're a year apart, bro.
So the you know, back when I remember
yeah.
seeing him in my buddy's garage when
so
they were
did I.
when they were Gadrol and was a Narian
before. Narian
that.
Before
yeah,
that.
Yeah. So I remember you know, so I definitely love that style when it's done right. I mean
I remember seeing my first Between the Buried and New show at 533 Uprisings, New Year's Eve of 2000 going into 2002. And that was before Blake and Dusty even joined the band. Like that was back when it was still Will Goodyear was still in the band, like from fucking Hope's Fall. Oh wow! I can nerd out with like these old dudes on the podcast. All right.
Nice, but yeah, man. I mean, you know, it's just you know, it's something about live music, man. If like if there wasn't music, life would not be worth living. I mean,
absolutely.
I agree. Fair.
Chris is a musician as well.
Yeah. Oh, right on.
Yeah, I can only hope that's what's signing my paycheck. Is the music works.
Exactly. Exactly.
But yeah, definitely. You know, that's the other you know huge part of my life.
No, are you satisfied with the work you put in here? Like, are you finally happy that you're working for yourself?
Totally.
Are the ends justifying the means, is what I'm asking.
They totally are. Incredibly liberating feeling to have a vision, you know, you had kind of come to life for itself. We did a ton of upfit work on the building here.
Mm-hmm.
I think created a really good atmosphere that we were going for and general vibe to the shop. But, yeah, the whole, you know, like I said, you know, 100-hour weeks are tough, you know, being
oh, yeah.
a small business owner. But when you're doing something you love and you're surrounded by it, like generally, like my job is to, order and stock beer and run all the business end of it, but I just get to have conversations with people about beer. I mean, that is like,
that's pretty awesome.
I cannot ask
for that. That's living the dream.
That's pretty awesome.
It's living the dream.
Do you have anything, like, I know you were talking about the cellar before, you have anything that you're trying to, that you got in the back of your head that you're willing to talk about?
Oh, no doubt. And
something you told me about when we were talking about Cold Mountain and the growler situation.
Yes.
I think you really
should touch
it. I was
just going to say, and I can't believe I forgot to mention this earlier, but we are going to have a growler pour station here. We're aiming by the beginning of the year to have that up and running.
It's like the fill your own water at the grocery store.
Yeah, but it's going to be beer.
It is a recent law you've been able to do in South Carolina and Tennessee forever, which it's just one of those laws that took a while to get passed.
Yeah.
Finally got passed. Guidelines are in effect. People are already doing it. Best Way in Greensboro is already pouring growlers.
Yeah.
There's a place in that. I mean, there's tons of places already doing it. And basically what it allowed was for retail and restaurant establishments to do growlers. Before, it had to be, you had to brew it on the premise to fill growlers. So
right.
Breweries could do it, but retail establishments couldn't. So that plan, those plans are in the work. We're researching the right system to buy. You know, it's a big investment, so we're making sure.
Because not everybody knows how to pour a beer.
Sure, yeah.
So
cover all our bases. But we're aiming for 8 rotating taps. We're going to try to keep local stuff that you cannot find in package. We're not going to put,
let's get some
Sierra Nevada melts too hard on the growler station.
Man.
You got to get
in touch with Trophy.
And that's what I'm going to mainly aim to do is North Carolina brews that are hard to find, or maybe they only distribute kegs. They don't do bottles.
Right.
Yeah.
And keep, 64 and 32-ounce growler fills.
Are you going to have us do, is it going to be like a deposit system where like you pay a one-time deposit, and you bring it back, and
exactly.
Give you a sanitized one?
Yeah, we're going to kind of be like, you buy the growler, and it's an extra, fee the first time, and then you can just bring it back.
That's awesome.
That's fantastic. That's such good news. What were you giggling about?
speaking of the whole growlers and sanitizing stuff, I listened to the Brewing Network, another podcast, and they're in California. So this guy, they're all homebrewers and everything. So he takes a growler to this brewery. He has it filled with sanitizer and everything. He hands it to the lady. The lady's like, you're not supposed to bring them back with anything in them. He's like, it's sanitizer. I'm a home brewer. It's sanitizer. It's fine. Dump it out and fill it up. And she goes through this whole spiel about how you're not supposed to have anything in them and blah, blah, blah. He's like, it's sanitizer. It's okay. You can fill it up.
Yeah.
And she goes through the whole process like 3 times. And
he's
all pissed off.
That's when I just go outside and look at her through the window. Just dump it out.
Be like, it's not. Because
once you get in here, she's going to dump it out, fill it with sanitizer,
and
put beer in it.
Or get a new one or something. It's sanitizer. You can fill beer in it. It's not going to hurt the beer.
Yeah, it's not like restaurant-grade sanitizer. It's a completely different type of sanitizer.
Yeah. Now, that sounds awesome.
Yeah,
I'm excited.
It's,
so you're just going to have local brews?
That's the plan. Mostly just, local stuff and... I know Nodon, Charlotte, they distribute a lot of kegs, trying to get some of their stuff. Full Steam out of Durham does a lot of kegs, another great North Carolina brewery. I've heard Wicked Weed, one of the hottest breweries around right now, just over to Nashville, have invested in trying to do some more kegs.
Fantastic.
And widen their distribution network around the state on the keg front. So, like I said, mainly keep it local North Carolina breweries that you can't find in a 6-pack or a 22-ounce. In the store or other places. Occasionally, we can get like a rare one-off keg, like Bell's Hop Slab or something like that. Obviously, we'll
which
take
you're
it
gonna have to have. You're gonna have to have a queue for that.
Oh yeah.
You know how people flip out. Yeah. You know how people flip out of a Hop Slab
bar.
Yeah. Oh, Cast Night.
Those are fun.
So we need to get our stuff in order, Jeff, so we can start getting.
That's right.
Bring some over to him.
Yeah.
That's right.
Throw some growlers.
We're at the very beginning of the process of trying to get some funding together to be able to start selling beer. So.
Hell yeah, man. Right on. Go for it. That's what I say, man. That's another thing about, a lot of people have a lot of ideas, and, when you're, this goes back to starting the old business thing, man. I mean, you just got to, almost have the blinders on. Like, I'm going to do this no matter what.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I had encountered, hundreds of different obstacles, but it's just like, you just put the blinders on, man, you always find a way around it, and just, keep your eye on the prize.
Yeah, North Carolina's, they're real tough on,
blue laws.
Stuff like that. Yeah, like, the blue laws are just, especially when it comes to, alcohol, they're very rigid about a lot of stuff, it seems like.
I know a lot of bottle shops are only even open on Sunday. just because it's like, what's the point? We can't sell until 12, and that gives us like a 5-hour window to sell alcohol.
Yeah.
But at least we're not Alabama.
That's true.
State you cannot homebrew in.
Yeah. Well, that's another thing. You mentioned that about ABC laws in North Carolina. The big one that really opened the floodgates for craft breweries and craft beer in general in North Carolina was the Pop the Capital. That the owner of Full Steam was a big integral part of that. One of my customers, Kip, some other guys were a big part of that. But that enabled, I can't remember what the cap was, but it was like somewhere around 6-7%. I think it was like 6%, something like that.
Oh, I remember as soon as we started seeing like Steel Reserve come in, we were like,
I want to say it was like 2000, it was about a decade ago.
I turned 21 in 07, I want to say it was like 05.
Gotcha, yeah, somewhere around that time period. And it enabled that limit went up to you could sell up to 15% alcohol in a beer. So that, you know, really opened the floodgates for all these other breweries. Because most craft breweries, their typical IPAs can start at 6-7%.
Yeah.
I mean, and,
yeah.
You know, you couldn't sell Bell's too hard. You're going to, you know.
Unless the Belgians are really not going to be that high.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know many craft brewers that go past 11 or 12.
Yeah.
A lot of times when I'm looking at the beer list, when I'm looking at the ABV, like, I don't want anything under a 6.
No,
yeah.
I mean, personally, like,
money, like,
why am I going to put this much time and effort into a delicious brown ale when I've got to keep it hovering around 4.5%?
Yeah,
you know? Yeah, no doubt, man. And it's still that way. And we just recently visited Nashville, Tennessee. In Tennessee, you have to sell beers over 6% alcohol. They have to sell in liquor stores. But it's kind of weird too because liquor stores can be privately owned. So we went to a bottle shop, and literally those ones. Like, their stores were attached, but still separated. You had to go outside and in a different door. But they had the high-gravity room where you could buy liquor, your high-gravity beers, and wine. And then the other one was beers under 6%, and that's where they had their growler station. It's just how it was in Tennessee.
That's weird. Can you imagine Utah where you can't sell beer above 4.5%?
I think
that's still how Utah is. I don't know if anybody.
My buddy's dad always talked about how he grew up in Ohio, and they would let you do, I forget what they called it, but there was a certain type of beer, I think it was anything under 5%, when he was growing up, you could drink at 18.
Near beer.
Yeah, the near beer. Yeah, you could have the near beer. So it was like, not quite NA, but it was like 4% beer you could drink when you're 18. But then when you're 21, you could have like real beer and liquor.
Sure.
And so
see, my
like,
dad got screwed because when he turned 18, that's when it went up to 21. And he was like,
damn it, another
bad
beer.
Yeah. Sick there, yeah. It's like you're waiting to retire, been with a company 30 years, and like,
then they raise
like,
the pension age.
Like, oh yeah, your pension age is now from 65 to 68. Like, you just turned 65.
That's when you just go out and get hit by a bus.
Yeah.
You know, that's another interesting thing. It's odd to me that America has the second highest drinking age in the world. Like,
yeah.
There's us and two other countries that are 21, and one country is like 23. And I always thought it's a strange thing. I don't know, but it seems like we have kind of a culture here of young people drinking really irresponsibly. Which is kind of a shame because, like...
Well, because it's not introduced to them young enough.
It is because, because over in, you know, Europe...
Because it's seen as
they
taboo.
They give it to them.
It's seen as taboo for us. We're like, ooh, no
yeah,
alcohol.
Don't do that, no.
But in France, it's like, yeah, you can have a little bit of wine with your dinner
yep.
when you're like 10, 11, and then you learn a responsible way to take care of it.
It's exactly. Like Amsterdam, the drinking age is 16.
Yeah.
Driving age is 18.
Yeah.
And so they actually teach you to learn how to
drink
handle your
which,
beer.
Which makes sense. And when I was 16, I wanted to upset that. I wanted to say, let me drive. But, getting behind a freaking large metal machine going 70 miles per hour, like, are you kidding me? 16-year-old
right.
should
16.
Not be.
16-year-old, when I was 16, I could barely tie my shoelaces.
Yes,
like, why would I?
I can still barely tie my shoelaces.
That's why I wear slip-ons. Like, fuck it.
Yeah.
Your laces don't even tie.
They don't, yeah. Look at that.
I'm wearing flip flops.
We're from the anti-motor skills generation.
Man, why don't they still make Velcro shoes?
Actually, I had my friend Tyler, when he was in high school, we were in high school, he went to Walmart and bought the fucking Velcro old man shoes. It was the coolest shit I had ever seen. I was like, fuck yeah.
I had a pair of zip-up shoes. You tie the laces and the zipper would go over the laces.
I remember those.
Yeah, and I just wouldn't tie the laces.
Those were like Felix.
Oh, this was like middle school, man.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Is it still like uncool that I want like light ups? Like
I had a discussion about that the other day.
I want light up you. I want some LA Gears, man.
Pumps.
Oh yes, they still make pumps, man. You can get them on eBay for like $400.
You guys, since we didn't get through in the main show, anybody got picks?
Yeah, picks. Shit. I had a pick.
I can start it up.
Yeah, go ahead.
I went with my brother to the movies. We went to the Kernersville Movie Theater because it's
$3
for new releases,
which is amazing. We got two movie tickets, a large popcorn, and a large drink for the price I would, for like $12. The price I would pay to go see like a 3D movie by myself.
Yeah.
And so we went to go see Thor, but it just came out this weekend and it was sold out. So my brother's a really big fan of Ender's Game, so we decided to see that instead.
Mm-hmm.
It was well worth it.
Really?
And it's nuts because I haven't seen any of the previews, I haven't seen anything like that. Like, I'm a huge science fiction guy. Anybody who listens to the podcast clearly knows that. Plus, we have the local connection with, why do I forget everybody's
His
name?
His name's Orson Scott Card, and he's a Mormon bigot and homophobe.
But nicest guy you've ever met.
He's super nice.
He's
until,
so
unless you're
nice.
Unless you're like, hey, Mr. Card, I suck dick.
Yeah.
And then he fucking hates you.
No.
I mean, don't get me wrong. Ender's Game was a formidable part of my childhood.
Well,
I love the book.
But the
it's
thing,
one
the
of my
thing
favorites.
About it, though, is like, he's just like, there's all this stuff coming about how he's a terrible person. But honestly, I've been to a couple of signings he's done, and it doesn't matter if you're black and gay.
No, because you're throwing
whatever.
Money at
him. Yeah, but it's not, it's more than about the money. It's the fact that this is a guy who grew up going to like science fiction conventions, and all of his friends are just like people like that, and he's just kind of to himself, but he's like, if you relate on the same level with him on stuff, he's really cool. He's a really nice guy.
No, I've met him. He is a super nice guy.
So, the media's not wrong, but he's also a really nice guy.
No, don't
get
me wrong. I'm going to spend my money to go see that because it looks amazing.
The movie was awesome, dude. It was great. The only thing I was missing is in the book, there's a couple of passing references to Greensboro, and I was hoping to see him in the movie.
Oh, yeah.
They talk about Yum Yums in the book.
They do, don't they?
Yeah.
They do talk about Yum Yums. I'm really hoping that they'll do Ender's Shadow. I'm hoping that
they set it up for a sequel.
Like, well, Ender's Shadow is actually takes place concurrently with Ender's Game.
Okay.
It's about Bean.
Oh.
Yeah, it's all like there's an entire book series about Bean growing up, and like it takes place.
Well, they definitely. It's not. I mean, unless it just bombs, I suppose. They definitely.
It's like it opened.
Definitely set it up for a sequel.
It opened really, really well.
The
like,
theater
it
was packed, and I was surprised because, like I said, I hadn't heard almost. Short of listening to tech news and have them talking about it all the time, I haven't heard.
Like, I think Ed and Thor are on track to do like $80 and $90 million weekends. So,
wow.
Yeah. Do you have any picks? We always go around, we do roundtable pick of the weeks, like a book, TV show, comic, movie, video game, music, anything you want to talk about.
That's
just your pick of the week.
Can I do a beer?
Absolutely.
Yeah,
yes.
Might as well be fitting. So we just got in stock, and we'll stay in the sour realm. Leafman's is the brewery, but it is the Leafman's Gutenbond. And it is a just ridiculously good blended pale sour. $10 for a 750 bottle. In that style, that's ridiculously cheap.
For a 750 bottle, that's cheap.
I've been wearing them out. I've been, you know, customers that enjoy that style, I've been selling them to, and they're just like coming back. And buying.
That's awesome.
That's my pick of the week. That beer is, you know, great value sour.
Fantastic. My pick this week, there's been a lot. I've actually consumed a lot this week, which is weird for me. I don't usually.
We're such heavy producers.
I know. It's rare to consume sometimes. Chris Hardwick, I feel your pain. let's see. I watched something recently. No, my pick of the week is on it's on Netflix right now. And it's from a series. It's a TLC series. It's from a couple of years ago called Extreme Cheapskates.
Yeah.
Holy shit. The pathology of this is just all, like, you've got some people that are like, there's one guy named Jeff Yeager. He's awesome. I'd hang out with him. He's an old hippie. He's not so much an extreme cheapskate. He's just got really good ideas on how to do things. Like, he was like, yeah, if you've got a whole bunch of old soap chips, take them and put them in a fucking pantyhose. Boom. You got a soap on a rope. There you go. I'm like, that's brilliant. I was sitting there like, writing shit down.
This
is
a life hack.
This is fucking amazing.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's life hacking. That's what he does. He just hacks life. And it's fucking awesome. They do something every couple months, five times a year, called a fiscal fast, where they won't spend any money through the entire week.
Oh, wow.
And they just get rid of shit. They use everything they have.
That's fucking cool.
Yeah, it's really cool. And then there was one guy who owns a hot dog cart who didn't want to spend any more than $25 on him and his wife's 10-year anniversary. And I'm like, that's sickening. That's like, he went to the store and he was like, how much for these balloons? Like, Mylar balloons. And they're like, well, they're clearance. And it was like, it was an anniversary sale, a fire truck, a cop car, a weird birthday thing. And they were like, well, you know, it's, you know, we'll fill them up here, so it'll be about $7. And he was like, how can I get this down to 35 cents? It was the worst haggling I've ever seen. It was like, it was almost like, and then it was like, how about I just take these balloons, because we're running out of helium in the world, right? And they were like, yeah, that's a thing. It was like, I'll just go home and blow these up myself. So you see him at home blowing up fucking Mylar balloons with a straw. He goes to the cake shop and he's like, how am I, can I get this cake for $4.50? She's like, it's a $25 cake. He was like, how about you just leave the frosting off? And she's like, how about you just take some old cake scraps and just frost that? It's like, fuck me, dude. There was one guy who took a girl on a date and they went to a barbecue restaurant and he was like, do you want to split something? She was like, yeah, sure, I'm not that hungry. He was like, have you seen the kids menu? Let's look at the kids menu.
Oh my God.
He then proceeds to order one rib, one singular rib, and then eats half of her plate. And then at the end, she's like, yeah, I mean, he's kind of cheap, but he's cute, so I guess I'll go out with him again.
I'll tell you what, man, I am the master, sorry, babe, of a cheap date. But that is
I can understand being a little bit broke and going and buying a cheap bottle of wine and like, let's go sit at the park and talk.
Yeah.
That is cute and cheap.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's perfectly fine.
Let's go to a dollar movie because we didn't see this 3 months ago when it came out.
And
so.
It's a dollar. And we'll sneak in a couple tall boys and we'll break the rules and it'll be exciting. You know, that's a cute romantic.
Leaving the frosting off a cake.
That's, that's what the fuck is that? Jeff.
I'm going to have to go in the route of beers as well.
Okay.
This is one that usually it's pretty seasonal, at least I've only seen it around this time, is the Founders Breakfast Stout.
Oh, yeah. God.
That is by far, like, top five beer of mine, like, all time. It's so good.
I used to get off work from Jeffrey Adams and go across the street to Mellow Mushroom, and they would have it on tap. I'd be like, don't even ask, you know what I want, put it in front of me.
I had one the other night, and my girlfriend, who, she likes beer and everything, but she's not into the dark beer, so I was like, you know, just try this. She's like, it's different. She's like, but it's really good. I'm like, no shit, it's fucking delicious. And I pulled up, like, the Beer Advocate of it, and all the reviews. I'm like, see?
It's like, everybody it's likes like a 96, beer. Isn't it?
I think it's 98.
Okay,
I knew it was ridiculous. Up
Michigan is doing something right.
Oh,
it's so good. Everything they put out is really good.
Isn't that the
good
one where they had to like search in backstock to find
Joe and I were at Total Wine like 2 weeks ago, and we had like the lady climbing on the rafters like looking for it. We're like, she's like, there's some here, I know it. And she like searched for 20 minutes to find it, and
did
we found
tip
it.
Her?
You can't
tip people.
Fuck that. Yes, you can. You just hand them money.
It was awesome.
I tip everybody.
So
you're the guy who tips the cashier at Lowe's Foods. They're like, no, I'm not allowed to take this. Like,
no,
you
I would
take
tip
it.
The bat. I've got
no,
tips
seriously,
at the back.
No, seriously, I'm not allowed to take this. Like, no, you got to take this. Yeah. You got to like it.
Yeah. Take it. I was so drunk when we went to the fair, I tried to tip the parking attendant.
Oh, my God.
Hey, you know, I used to be a valet, man.
Well, he's not a valet. He's a parking attendant. He's pointing. And I was like, I was hoping maybe he'd guide. I don't know. I just wanted a Fred Snicker.
We had a friend whose name is Redacted, whom we were at.
I'm sorry. I'm trying to send a tweet and it's terrible. Concrete jungle.
Good old Spread.
We were drinking at NYP one night.
Like you do.
Because
you don't eat the pizza there.
And he went to the bathroom and apparently just managed to piss everywhere but the toilet.
Are we talking about me?
No.
Okay.
No.
Do I know this Redacted person?
Yes. And he felt bad. And so he was like, oh, dude, I'm going to tip whoever cleans the bathroom by just, like, taking a $5 bill and setting it on the ground. And then he'll get it at the end of the night.
Not to mention that this is a busy In-N-Out bar.
And so we're standing
exactly
in the middle of the bar, and he's just swacked.
and he sees somebody go into the bathroom to pee.
He's like, no!
And he just hauls ass, sticks his hand out in front of the guy, throws open the door, and he's like, no! And he runs in, picks his money up, and then runs out while this guy's just trying to walk into the bathroom.
Oh, shit.
Oh, okay, so back to beer. Cold Mountain, street date.
Oh, yeah, man. So I don't have an official street date. I know from what I've heard, the 15th of November.
Oh,
it's like the official
quick.
Release party, which I think is next Friday.
Yeah, that's Friday.
So my guess would be that following week it should be hitting this market.
Oh, of course, it's an off pay week for me.
Yeah. I mean, like I said, no concrete date.
Okay, so we will start back
coming very soon.
Cold Mountain's my favorite. I look forward to it. And we're at 49.
Just checking.
It's not that bad. We're doing good.
Cool.
But you guys do have to work. You guys
do
have to
work in the morning.
I don't. I have to stop and buy bread and beer.
Nice.
I have to work. I work 35 hours this week, so.
You work 40.
Oh, you got 5 more hours on me.
40 plus, bro.
I have to sit in a chair all day instead of a computer.
Oh,
that's terrible.
That's so hard.
Yeah, please.
I don't sleep a lot.
I work on my feet for, 8 hours at a time.
I used to do the same thing as Kristen.
Did you get a promotion, or?
Yeah. So I have to sit and be lazy all day.
No, Jeff's been working there for about...
You've been working there longer.
Oh, it's about a year and a half.
6 months longer than me. Yeah, about six months longer than me.
What you should do is get Jeff fired. Then
yeah.
You can take
his
job.
We're
going to
form a coup.
Exactly. Power vacuum.
But then you have to
boom.
Sit next to Christine all day. She's a bitch.
Just put your headphones in, man.
It's okay. She doesn't listen to this podcast.
The day that Christine listens.
She doesn't listen to this.
No, there's only one coworker of yours that we listen that listens.
Yeah, Tanya.
Hey, Tanya.
Yeah, well, she already knows that Christine's a bitch. So
one coworker of his is on the podcast. Thank you very much.
Yeah, coworker. You guys are coworkers.
Yeah.
In more than one respect. This is a very personal podcast. We like to shout out each and all of our five listeners.
No doubt.
It's like
I don't
car
know
talk,
if this
except
is...
for we really only have one listener.
Yeah.
Chris and I were talking about this earlier. Is today really Logan's birthday?
It didn't pop up on my newsfeed.
It showed up in both of ours, and
I just know
saying happy
I just know it was like people are saying happy birthday, but in my notification thing.
Today is my girlfriend's birthday, and today is my bass player's birthday.
Oh, hey, happy birthday!
Happy birthday, Emily. Happy birthday, Alex.
Go Williams on something.
but I don't think it is.
I don't think it is.
I think
it's
trolling
popped
hard.
Up because I think it popped up as a couple other people's birthday.
I saw him. You saw it too.
Yeah,
it was just something about birthday. He said something about birthday. I didn't see it like pop up as like a notification like it's his person's birthday.
I had so this is another good story. I was out snowboarding. Every good story happens when I'm snowboarding.
Like you do.
So I was out snowboarding in Colorado about 2 years ago, and my friend got really intoxicated with the rest of us, and he decided that it would be funny to change my birthday on Facebook to the following day, and so I woke up to about. My phone just buzzing like crazy in my ear to 50 fucking Facebook messages that said, "Happy birthday! 6 months away from my birthday."
Were you there for the time we ultimately Will McGee'd Alex Fulmer?
No.
He was an idiot and just let us all in his room adventure with his Facebook
you
open.
You should explain what that is.
Basically, I've met Will McGee once. Will McGee is this thing where if you leave your Facebook open, somebody types your name. And then likes
in
it.
In all capital letters.
All capital letters. So it's like, you know,
so
Colin Norris. Colin Norris likes this. Yeah. And it's just sort of like, oh, somebody got fucking Will McGee. So what we did is we changed Will McGee Fulmer, and we were like, wait, he's not going to be back for 20 minutes. We have 20 minutes free reign over his thing. We made him like 50 different Nickelback cover bands.
Oh, you changed his album art or
we
his cover
his art
to My Little Pony.
To Twilight Sparkle from My Little Pony. We changed his cover photo to something else ridiculous. And they were like, let's just go the extra mile. We changed his birthday. We added him to a group that it was called Women for Mitt Romney. it's like me, Rob. This was back when he was dating that awful girl. When Alex was dating that Alpha.
Oh, I was
Rob.
Like, what?
Not Rob. I've never met any of the awful girls Rob has dated. Who else? Who else was there? I think Sherry Blades may have been in there. It was when Joe Massa and Karis were still hanging out with us. We miss you guys. Come back. And then we tiled his background as Dick Butt.
Yeah.
It was just, he came back and he didn't even notice. We didn't say shit. And then he was like, all you assholes. We just really fucking ruined it. Well, thanks for having us, man. This has been
an
absolute blast.
No problem. I enjoyed it. Like I said, this is, you know, I'm glad you guys came here to do it, man. I think what you guys are doing is awesome.
Thanks for introducing us to
some great new beer.
Yeah, no doubt.
I enjoyed the tasting as well.
I'm going to get that 61 minute.
It's awesome.
I'm going to have to pick up that. That was so good.
What was everybody's favorite beer, real quick, right before we go?
Yeah, mine probably, if I had to pick two, the 61 minute and the Golden Drac.
I would say the 61 and the Black IPA.
I liked the Chimay and the Sour.
Yeah?
Nice. The Drac for me, man. That's just, it hits home for me. I just love the Drac.
Stellar. I could definitely see me buying about four of those and then just like, good night!
Good night, yeah.
And then I wake up the next morning with drunk phone calls to Nielsen, Jeff, Alex, my ex-girlfriend, my mom. I just tried to find...
The fifth person down on Facebook, inexplicably.
Yeah.
You want to wrap it up?
Yeah.
Let's wrap it up.
Thanks for having us.
Yes.
Jeff, thanks for producing us.
No,
he didn't really produce anything this week.
I didn't.
He produced beer.
He produced beer for us. This is a drinking one.
The drinking ones I don't produce.
Absolutely. There's nothing to produce. We don't need you to Google anything.
It's true.
Or field tweets or anything like that.
And thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening. Once again, this is Colin Norris with Name Redacted Podcast.
Chris Nielsen, signing off.
The Brew Shaman, Jeff.
And Matt. From Stella Brew.
Matt Damon.
Matt Damon. Thanks, guys. Go out and touch some butts. See you next time.